What a blessing. What a great, great blessing. Amen. We need to be reminded of that. Amen. Certainly do. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come. And I'm thankful for the promise of the Scripture. Amen. For I reckon that, Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm so grateful, thank God, that we do have that blessed, looking for that blessed hope. Amen. But we'll thank you. That stirred my heart. Amen. I'm very nervous. So thank you so much for all you've done for us. You've been so gracious to us, Brother Robert. Welcome Baptist Church. It's been so good to our church. Thank you so much for all you've done. And I thank the Lord for what He did in the services yesterday and last night. Boy, my heart's been just filled. I thank God for that. And this is a great, great blessing. It's a great thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I want to just share this with you real quick. You ever go to the mailbox and you don't really know what to expect when you go to the mailbox. And you ever went to the mailbox and come back crying? Yeah, several times. Amen. Amen. Only Brother Barry, my pastor. Amen. But I went to the mailbox the other day, and I walked out there and opened up the mailbox and seen it. The letterhead, Welcome Baptist Church, and opened it up. And I started weeping, rejoicing that, hey, Jubilee's here again. That helped my heart. Walked back to the house with that envelope, opened it up, and I said, man, it's Jubilee time again. And it just thrilled my soul, just having the invitation to be here and to be able to come around you dear folks. It's been a blessing to our heart. Thank you so much for your prayers. I want to say I thank the Lord for my church. They sent me several texts early this morning. Said they was praying for me and preach on preacher and all of that. So I've been encouraged. Went out to my car and had a little note hanging there on my windshield wiper. Just preach, preacher, preach. And boy, that'll help you. That'll help you. But well, I'll say like the Apostle Paul, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I am what I am, what by the grace of God. And I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I'm saved. Amen. I want to be a help to you somehow. I hope God will use me. I've been just really, not really struggling. I've not struggled on the fact of whether I stand up here and flop or any of that. As all of us preachers know, the most important thing, I want the perfect will of God. I get more nervous over that than I do the crowds. I really do. I get more nervous over, I don't want to miss God's will. I don't want to miss it. And I know this is what the Lord would have me preach this morning. Will you please take your Bible and turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 11. Mark chapter 11. And thank the good Lord. I've been blessed. Boy, God. Man, I tell you, starting out yesterday, that first message. Brother Buster, thank you so much for minding the Lord. Just answer some of my questions that I'd been even asking myself, as a pastor. About, why you see them saved. They come, they get in and start serving, then they just get out. And boy, that really cleared some things up in my heart. And I thank God for Brother Barry preaching last night. And just that thing of being committed. I want to be committed. Everyone, I'll ask you to please stand this morning. And we'll read Mark chapter 11. And I want to read verse 1 through verse number 11. So please just pray for me as we try to read. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, and He sendeth forth two of His disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway He will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door, without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and He sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Thank you. You can be seated. Our Father, thank you for the word of the Lord. I pray today, God, you please help me somehow, dear Father, to be a blessing to someone. God, I know today, Lord, that, Lord, I'm totally, dear God, incapable, inadequate, dear Lord, of doing anything without the help of the Lord. And I know today, God, that, Father, I stand here today, dear Father, Lord, undeserving. And dear God, I don't deserve one thing. I don't deserve a touch, but I do desire a touch. And I pray today that you touch your people. And God, please take the message, encourage some heart today, I pray. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Well, I will be preaching this in a way of application, so just bear with me, all right? I want to look at a verse right here that the Lord's really spoke to my heart about. Verse number 3. I want you to notice what the Lord said. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And that has been working on my heart for this service this morning. And I want to preach this little while on the importance of knowing that you're needed. That's what God wants me to preach this morning, on just the importance of knowing that you're needed. Now, I'm not talking about being prideful or boastful, but I tell you what I believe. I believe self-depreciation is just as wrong as self-exaltation. Amen. Hey, we are servants of the Most High God, and we are children of the Lord. Amen. And I say today, there's a lot of people today needs to hear that today, that, you know, you hear people say, well, you know, God don't need me. Well, God uses His people to carry out His will. Amen. And I certainly don't want to go around with an attitude of pride, by no means. But God, listen, does want us to know that He paid the ultimate price of the blood of His Son, amen, for you and I, amen. And let's don't devalue who we are, thank God. I'm glad. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know, amen. Now, as we look at this coat a little bit more this morning, in verse number 5, I want you to see, and certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the coat? Others probably had need of this little coat. I thought about that. But in verse 6, the Bible said, and they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they heard that Jesus needed this little coat more than they needed him. And they said unto them, even as Jesus commanded, and they let them go. And I want to say this real quick, just bear with me. It is very important that we understand in the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, none of us can say to the other, I have no need of thee. The eye cannot say to the ear, I have no need of thee. Amen. And listen, I thank God it's that way, but God has tempered us all, the body is all together, each member, amen. And I said, there'll be no schisms in the body, amen. I want to look at this, and I hope, I don't really know how exactly God would have me to direct it, but I do want to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart. And my heart's really burdened for men of God ministries this morning. My heart's just really burdened for preachers and churches and just people today. Now I want to look at this thing. Give me just a few moments. First I say, as I look at this, I want you to see the crossroads of knowing that you're needed. As you look in verse number 4, and they went their way and found the coat tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. It was in a place where two ways met. The coat was at a crossroads of life. Amen. When it found out that it was needed, that's where you and I were. You may be here today as a man of God, as a church member at a crossroads in your life, wondering, does anybody need me? But I want to tell you something. something. The Lord hath need of thee. Amen. You may be in those places where this little coat was. I see the crossroads. Right here was the location of the needy coat. Amen. Sometimes we as men of God and people of God has to come to a crossroads in our life. Amen. And sometimes we don't know which way to go. Sometimes we don't know which direction. I'll be honest with you. Hey, listen. Oh, listen. I've got a young preacher in my church. And he's sitting right back there, Brother Weston. And he was encountered on the job by a charismatic. And he said, is your pastor a prophet? And he began to try to confuse Brother Weston. And Brother Weston's seeking the will of God on some things. He said, if he was a true prophet, he would know the will of God for your life. And I started laughing. I said, that's funny. Sometimes I don't even know the will of God for my own life. I said, sometimes I don't even know what direction to go. I said, but when I get up on my face before God and get in the Word of God, I can get direction from God. Amen. And here, sometimes we get at a crossroads in our life, amen, in a location like a local church, amen, or anywhere in your life. And you wonder, am I really even needed? But I want to say it was in the right place of being needed. Hey, are we needed by the Lord? I believe that. God don't have to choose to use me or you. He can choose anyone. But He works through His church and His people, thank God. It's not about does anybody want you. Are we needed? Because most of us don't feel wanted. Now listen, I pray this morning God will help us to know that you are needed. It was at a crossroads of knowing that it's needed, and the location of the needy colt was in a place. The colt knew that it was needed because of the scripture that spoke about him. It was prophesied in Zechariah 9:9. In Matthew 21, you can read about it in the scripture. You and I can look in the Word of God and thank God He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Amen. And that's His church. Praise God. When we're at a crossroads in life and don't know which way to go sometimes. And listen, we just have to wait on the direction and a word from God. Amen. The little colt was living here at the crossroads. But now it's going to leave the crossroads based upon the Word of the Lord. There ain't a man of God probably here today that hadn't felt like leaving on Monday. But then there's something inside of us that says, I'm right where I'm needed. And we better get to that place. It's not about being wanted. It's about being needed. Hey, the crossroads, you may be there today and you may have the questions, does anybody even need me where I'm at? The colt was leaving the crossroads based upon the Word. The conversation of knowing that you're needed, verses 3, the Bible says, and if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. In verse 5, and certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you loosen in the coat? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. So listen, there was a conversation right there where that little coat was about it being needed. It's the language about the needy coat. Just when you come out of the pulpit or a child of God, you go through the day, your work week or whatever, and isn't it a courage for someone just to say, hey, praise God, I sure appreciate you staying. I appreciate you preaching. I appreciate your testimony, child of God. Oh, preacher, you're building up. I'm not a Joel Osteen. I think, I know we got faults. I know we got failures. We all got flesh. And listen, we all are just still as corrupt as we once were. If it weren't for the grace of God, we'd still be doing the same things we always did. And I know that. Listen, we need to preach on sin. And I believe we need to call it right. And we need to live sanctified. Amen. And I realize that. But we're not careful, we'll so preach a sinless, perfected life that the next thing you know, none of us here, none of us are even worthy to even name the name of Christ. The coat and you, listen, the language about the coat. Now, about the wanting coat, he knew all about it. Listen, about its need, not its want. The coat knew that it was needed to serve him. Now this is introduction. Is that all right? Now the language about the need came from the disciples. Those that were standing there around that coat, they didn't even put up a fight for that coat. Why? They probably thought it was just a little old coat. It wasn't worth nothing. It wasn't worth much. It wasn't a big loss to them. They probably felt like we don't even really need it that much. But Jesus needed it. Could you imagine what that little coat might have thought when he heard the conversation about him? Wow, the Lord needs me, a little old nothing on the backside of nowhere, amen? And God wants me to use me? Oh, we gotta not get away from our roots, friend. God saved us by His grace. I'm glad the ground was level at the foot of the cross. Amen. Glory to God. Some of us have a little coat on the top of a ridge in the mountains of North Carolina, just trying to do something for God back in a little holler somewhere. You may be in a metropolis, in a city somewhere, or maybe in the suburbs, or on next to the tracks, or on the other side of the tracks. But I'm telling you today, God has need of a servant, amen. Let God use you. There was a conversation of knowing that you're... Oh, glory. I got that little envelope out at the mailbox. I opened it out. Welcome, Jubilee. Pastor Barry Rackley. Pastor Alfred Willis. Oh, y'all get with me, okay? Pastor Buster Mullins. And my name is on there? Me? What? You know why I was weeping back to the house of God? Not because that my name deserved to be on there. It was just a blessing to know that God took an old drunk that spent 3 nights a week on a bar stool and saved him by His grace 17 years ago and called him to preach the Word of God. And now I'm in a place such as this. Thank God. Oh, I'm unworthy. I know I'm unworthy. I know I'm unworthy. Oh, God, use these men of God, my mentors. You, thank God, God's used you saints of God who stayed the course and hadn't quit to help me. Thank God. Brother Buster, I'll never forget a message you preached at Brother Barry's years ago. God dealt with my heart, convicted me real. I was a young Christian. Convicted me strong about something in my life. And I dealt with it in the altar and never had picked it back up. Truly repented of it. And there's my pastor. I tell you, it'd be good for us preachers to go to church one Sunday morning and say, don't put no starch in my clothes today. When I got saved, I didn't even own a suit. My mama bought me my first suit jacket. It was green. I mixed everything with it. I had one tie. I had one tie. It was gray. Man, that's the only reason I come down here every year with them tithes. Amen. Yeah. Brother Willis, you like shoes, don't you? You like shoes? I love ties. I like ties. But my first tie, I had a green suit coat, and I wore different colored pants. I just gotten saved. And my mama bought me that, and I had one tie. And it was gray. And it was about that wide all the way down. That didn't make me a better Christian. And it don't even make me a better preacher. But it let me know, hey man, that I'm not what I used to be. Oh, I'm getting way, way ahead of myself. I'm way, way ahead of myself. I'm trying to not get way ahead of myself where they drape them blanks over. Oh, I'm not going to get there. But there was the conversation of knowing that it was needed, the language about the needed coat. The coat knew that it was needed to serve him. Amen. Then there was the choice of knowing that you're needed. Notice this verse 2. And saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon every man sat. Loose him and bring him. Let's take a look at the needy coat now. The needy coat. Let's look at him. This verse that we just read lets us know that Jesus, get a hold of this, was thinking about it and saw it before it ever saw him. He already thought about it. He already knew where it was going to be at a crossroads. He already knew where it was at in its condition. He knew it didn't have no direction. It was just standing there, going nowhere like a lot of us. Amen. And thank God he already saw it. He knew where it was, amen. He knew all about it. And he knew where to send them preachers to, amen, tell him that the Lord has need of you. The colt knew that he was needed because he was special to him. Why you say that? It was not just a colt, the colt, but a colt. You shall find a colt whereon never man said. It was special. It was unique. It was individual. It never had anything on its back or never been broken. But the Lord had need of it. Men of God, we still need some men of God that have the compassion of Christ in the heart and a backbone like a crowbar. Amen. And not broken by humanity. You may feel like you've been rode to death. That's what this Jubilee is for. I'm going to preach on it just in a minute. And I thought about this thing. The Lord was going to use it. And it was going to bring God glory. It would be the one to carry him through the streets of Jerusalem as they cried, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And you know what? I thought about that. I'm getting way ahead of myself. You probably couldn't even hardly see the little colt. You probably couldn't ever see it. They cast their garments all over it. And when he come through there, everybody said, oh, what a colt! Oh, what a king. And listen, you and I, listen, that's the purpose of our life. If we're going to be used of God, it's not that we're seen, it's He being seen in our lives. Amen. Here's the message. Here's the outline. He was needed, though he had no experience. Whereon never man sat. Jesus is not looking for your talent. He's not looking for your eloquence. He's not looking for your experience. Amen. He's looking for somebody that'd be available and would be willing, amen, to let, oh, glory to God, let Him get on our lives, amen. He was, oh, listen, he had no experience. Man, I tell you, I was so stupid when I got saved. I got saved, someone said, a preacher said that. Brother Barry won, Brother Buster. I got saved, and I thought, okay, I'll know everything about that Bible now. I really thought that. Because I tried to read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible before I got saved. And I thought, now I'm saved, I'll know everything about that Bible. I've been saved 17 years and I still don't know nothing. But I do know more than what I used to. But the most of the things that this preacher has learned has been through experience with the Lord. This little coat had no experience, and what it was going to learn was the time that it spent with the Lord. Amen. Jesus was going to use it if it could be led. And a lot of people want God to use them, but they're not willing to be led. It was willing to be led, amen. And they look. Notice what it said, verse 2. Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon every man set. Loose him and bring him. We will never be used of the Lord until we're willing to submit to those in authority that God has put in our lives to lead us. He could have kicked him butt because he still had the wild nature. He'd never been tamed, amen. He could have done what he wanted to do, but he was willing to be led by those that God put in his life. Jesus wanted to use it if it could be led. He said, bring him. Had a follower. A disciple's a pupil, a learner. We all are. I'm so nervous. Brother Buster, yours went away the other night. Mine ain't went away. Yours went away, didn't it? Mine ain't. I'm trying to help you this morning and let you know that you're needed. It was needed, though he had no experience. Well, I'd do this if I... Oh, when they got up here and sang that Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. Y'all, who was it sang that? Congregation sing that Leaning on there. Brother Clint. You know where it took my mind? Right after I got saved. I sat on the front pew and I said, God, I want to do something. I want to do something. I'd never stood in front of him. I don't know nothing. I don't want to do something. And God said, I want you to do something. I said, okay, what is it, Lord? I didn't come premeditated thinking about it, prepared for it. I sat on a pew and God spoke to my heart. You know how that is. I want you to get up there and sing a special, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I never stood in front of nobody and sang. Are you kidding me, Brother Jarvis? Lord, I don't want to do nothing like that. You want to be used of the Lord, you got to be willing to be led by the Spirit of God. And I sat there and I said, Lord, I can't do that. You want to be used of God? You've got to be willing to be led. But Barry says, somebody here got anything on your heart, a special? And I go like that. I said, preacher, the Lord wants me to sing. I don't know what the pastor felt when I said that. But I did what the Lord wanted me to do. I really feel like I need to share this with you all. I'm still just a little cold. I'm a zero. But I do know that the Lord needs me. Lifestyle evangelism just ain't going to save them. Somebody's got to go out and give the gospel. Somebody's got to preach. You live for God in front of people. That's a testimony, but there's more to it. Show me thy works by thy faith. But I ain't lost y'all, have I? See, I don't have any experience. Surely the Lord don't need me. You're the very one He wants. Whereon never man saith. That's the thing right there. We've got to get the people off our back. Too many people's got a load of people on their mind and on their back, and they want to be used of the Lord, not as long as you carry that load around. People who do not want to be followers of God, listen, are those who's got people problems. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to be ugly. I love you. The little coat was going to be needed to carry him and him alone. Yes, we have a burden to bear one another's burdens. And yes, we as preachers bear the burdens of the ministry. But I want to tell you something. If we're not careful, friend, we'll carry everything and everyone, and Jesus will not even be nowhere near alive. I don't have no experience. Oh, I got to thinking. I'm 48. I surrendered to preach in 1995. And I thought, man, time's a flying. What have I done with Jesus? Not for, but with. Oh, you say, I don't have any experience. I'm surely not needed. You can be used if you'll be willing to be led. Number two, he was needed. Number one, though he had no experience, he's needed. Number two, though he seemed unable. Verse 2 said that he was, listen, tied. Jesus was going to use it if it could be led. Now Jesus is going to use it if it could be loosed. We get too bound down. We don't understand that we must have the liberty of the Lord. It had to be loosed. Are you bound this morning? Are you tied up? I mean, I love you. But we're going to come to Jubilee. Let's have Jubilee. Amen. Leave the junk at the door on the altar and let's have Jubilee. Amen. That's what I come for. I'm not saying we don't have problems and you don't have heartaches. You're not bound down to this and that. But this is a place to where you can get loose. And I'm not talking about out of order. Being led of the Spirit of God. I feel like I need to say this to y'all. Last night, and I don't doubt any man of God or anyone who don't do this. But I'd start out, I'd ask you to stand and read the Word of God. And the Lord just put that in my heart to do that. I don't mean that I'm more spiritual or even right. That's just something the Lord told me to do. If God told me to quit wearing black shoes and wear white ones, I'd have to wear white. Last night, I sat back there, and Brother Barry began reading his scripture. And Brother Barry, there's times that, you know, he's had a stand. There's different, you know, the Lord just didn't lead him that way to do it last night. And I sat right back there. Y'all think I'm kind of odd for saying this, but I'm going to just give you my heart. But he started reading, and God said, why don't you stand? God dealt my heart about being hypocritical over that. But you'll put on a show. People will think you're somebody, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And I sat there and he read about two verses of Scripture and God said, you need to stand up. And I said, no, Lord, I'll stick out. And I sensed the Spirit. I'm not Joe, I sensed the Spirit, my spirit being grieved. Spirit of God started being grieved. I said, Lord, I'm not going to grieve this service. I'm not going to. I didn't care. I stood up. I just did what the Lord wanted me to do. And I had to get, and I love you, but I had to get you all off my back right here. And I love you. I'm not being ugly to you. And I don't say you have to get in my bushel basket and do what I do. Amen? But you know when God tells you to do something, you start sensing the Spirit of God being grieved. And in a little while you don't feel nothing. You say, oh Lord, I've grieved the Spirit of God. And then somebody else stands up and does what God just told you to do. Amen, Brother Jarvis. I don't know what y'all come to hear. I'm from Chucky, Tennessee. I pastor in Chucky. Y'all don't find that. It's on the GPS. Amen. I'm telling you, this little thing was needed, though it was. It seemed like it's enabled to even be used. Say, I can't be used. I'm tied down. First you say yes to God and God will loose the chains and give you liberty. Amen. God will make a way for you to be used if you want to be used. He needs you. He will send someone. He'll send a Philip down to... He'll send a Philip to the eunuch. When you need a word. Let me give you this thing right here. He was needed. Number three. Though he was in the elements. Verse 4. If any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Now notice verse 2. He was tied outside. He was without in a place. Verse 4. Without. You ever feel like you've been there? Outside in the elements. And Jesus wanted to use it if he could leave now. It had to leave that place of being and feeling without. Well, nobody needs me. Nobody wants me. I'm out here while everybody else is going inside enjoying their fellowship and doing this, and I just feel like an outcast. God still, he used the outcast of Israel. And you may be here this morning. You may feel like you've been in the elements of this world. You're going to be willing to leave that. And he needed it regardless of what it was going through. Most of the times we get the reverse. We think, I'm going through this. Nobody needs me. I'm going through what I'm going through in my ministry. The elements. The storms. The heat. Those are the times that God's really saying, this is when I really need you. Because it's during those times, it's when we're, the trials of our faith are to make us more precious than gold. And to shine a little brighter. He was needed. And I know this is different. I know I'm not breaking. I don't know what kind of preaching you call it. My wife asked me the other day. She said, you preach topical preaching or exposition? She didn't say exposition. I said, mine's just a mixture. I don't even know. This is the way I preach. I'm not trying to sound ignorant. I'm trying to preach from the Bible. There's times we get in there and we break the verses down, the exposition. We got to have a balance. But it was needed, write this last one, it was needed though it was at an end. It was tied up at the end of a rope. And when you feel like you're maybe at your end, can I remind you what Jeremiah 29:11 says? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And Jesus was going to use it, though it felt like it was at the end, if it could get in the Lord's hands. And when it got in the Lord's hands, God used it. He needed it. And now He's using it. And now that little colt that was just a nobody, didn't know which way to go, didn't think it's ever going to maybe be used, no value much at all. Now it's walking down the streets of Jerusalem. And they're laying the palm branches out in the street, carrying the Lord. Palm branches represent or a symbol of victory. Did you know that? And now this little colt that didn't even know it was needed, that nobody else wanted, now he's carrying the Lord, walking in victory. He's just walking in victory. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. I asked Brother Jarvis if I could do this because this so blessed my heart the other week. And I want to use an illustration. I will like to say this to you. You say, I don't feel like I'm worth anything. Well, can I tell you, Jesus didn't send for a stallion. He didn't send for a stallion for show. He sent for just a little colt to serve. Amen. I would rather be a little colt out in the field serving the Lord than to be a stallion on a platform to receive applause from men. Amen. We're just little colts. I feel like a mule. Amen. Our brother Barry, I don't know if he's praying for me or praying for himself, got me to thinking. He was right there. And I know he's praying about his service Wednesday. I heard you pray and asking God. I heard you say something, please, something about not saying anything to the flesh. And I'm thinking, he's praying for me. And that went in my mind. I thought, he's praying that I don't get up here and say nothing to the flesh. Y'all ever heard that? I'm not a stallion. You know where we're at, Brother Pastor Jarvis. When we come to the Jubilees and put on our suits, and a lot of us don't know anything much about one another. They say, man, he must pastor a big church. He's way up there, got a big number, big crowd and all this stuff. They come visit your church. You're in a 40 by 40 building. Hey, we got bars on our windows now. We got two drive-through windows. It used to be a beer store. It looks like a jail now. I ain't even joking. It's got black bars. We had to put black bars. We've been broke in about 3 times. And they come in, and they see them bars, and our ushers lock the door, and they can't get out. Amen. No, I'm just joking. But we do have black bars in our. I'll share this with you, and I'll try to finish with this illustration. But here a while back, I was just tired. You know, sometimes you get tired. My church saw I was tired. And they said, preacher, we want you and Miss Kim to take a week and just rest. We're going to send you to Gatlinburg. We got you a cabin. I said, glory to God. And so we went up there, and man, I'm ready to relax. The next morning, I get a phone call. And they had to put Brother Weston up doing it. Everybody else felt bad. Preacher, got some bad news. I said, oh, Lord, here we go. Somebody broke into our church. And I sat there and I had my Bible on my lap when he called. I had my devotion. And I said, okay, what a vacation. Stole this and that and all that stuff. And I looked down at my Bible and I was in the book of Exodus. And I was reading the passage where it said, the more they afflicted them, the more they grew. I was reading that when I got the phone call. Oh, glory to God. That don't mean nothing to you. And he said it, and I read on down through there, and I said, and they made them bitter with hard bondage. And I had it on my lap when he called. And I looked down at it, and I said, Lord, that's a word for me. And I called Brother Barry. I started sending out texts. God gave me a message right there. I thought I was going to preach it this morning, but God wouldn't let me. Just grow bigger, not bitter. Okay, we've lost this and this. And I get another phone call. Brother Tim, he's about 6'5". He comes to our church. He don't say much. You can see him. Oh, he's on the back row. He's just that. I mean, he's a blessing. Preacher, would it be all right if I go get some metal bars and put some bars in the wind? I said, go right ahead. And Brother Clint, God showed me, and I'm trying not to run this rabbit too long, but God showed me that even when I'm at my end, when you feel like you're at your end and everything, the elements are just falling upon you, and you don't know even which way to turn, you're at the end of the road. You're reminded by a disciple, a phone call, a text. We still need you. Oh, church, thank you so much for them texts. Oh, early this morning I was up studying. Preach, preacher, we're praying for you. You're the number one pastor. I said, praise God. I hope they don't vote me out. I've heard that before. Amen. I love my church. They know I'm joking with them. Brother Larry, when you go back home and you go on that little hill, I mean, he's up on a hill. I'm not joking. If you walked out his door at night and there was no lights, you're dead. I'm not joking. It is a straight drop off, and it goes down to the road. And Brother Larry, a lot of people might not even know where you are, but the Lord knows that. You're needed. I want to use this illustration. And I'm closing. God, give me this, Brother Willis. And matter of fact, Brother Willis, I was thinking about you when I first got this. I was teaching Sunday school class, and I read this story. I want to read it to you. John Weatherford. He'd been preaching for almost 10 years without incident. When he came to Chesterfield County to hold meetings, refusing to seek a license to preach, he was jailed by the county judge. The common people who had been expecting to hear Weatherford in their town square came to the jail, exhorting him to preach to them from within the jail. Weatherford preached. Oh, listen, Weatherford preached Christ to the waiting people with great fervor, going so far as to extend his hands through the bars as he spoke. The authorities went to great lengths to stop this old Baptist preacher. They recruited a drummer to go out there into the street and pound away while he preached. That wouldn't stop that man of God. They sent a man on horseback to go cause a commotion and disturb that man of God and that congregation. Amen. Is that my time? All right. We've advanced. When I was a young preacher, Brother Barry used to have a bell. I hated that thing. Yeah, I stole it and buried it, Brother Maccabee. It's buried in an unknown region. Amen. But here's this old Baptist preacher. They threw him in jail because the Anglican church wanted him to get a license to preach. He said, I won't do it. And he's in the jail and he began to preach. He began to extend his hands through the bars. And that crowd out there on the street was listening. They sent a drummer to disturb the service and that didn't stop them. Sent a horseback rider, that didn't deter them or stop them. They said his blood, oh listen, they sent two men to stand outside of the window. And they said when he extends his hands, cut his hands. And he kept on preaching, and as he preached, the blood splattered on that congregation from that man of God. That sheriff, he was determined to silence that old Baptist preacher. So here's what he did. They erected a stone wall. They said, we'll build a wall. And they built a 10-foot wall there in front of that jail where that window was to try to separate that congregation from that preacher. And he kept on preaching. And they would climb to the top of the wall. And they would say, preach on, preacher! Preach on, preacher! Preach on, preacher! You don't think you're needed? Preach on, preacher! The elements are on you. Keep on preaching! We'll stop him. So they embedded glass and stone on the top of that wall to stop that congregation. Y'all help me out. He probably thought, like you do, silence. Is anybody listening? And they couldn't climb the wall. But all of a sudden, they took white handkerchiefs and tied them onto little sticks. Just look around, men of God. I want you to see this. They were raising them white flags up over that wall. Telling that preacher, preach on, preacher, you're needed. We need you. Church, we need men of God. Men of God, we need the people of God. Preach on, preach on, preach on, amen. You're needed. Oh, my soul. That old man of God died at a full age of 93 years old. They finally let him loose. They wouldn't let him loose because he didn't have enough money to pay his fine. And Patrick Henry, thank God, bailed him out. Amen. Later on, Patrick Henry got saved himself in a revival meeting. Amen. Hey, God will honor you if you'll take care of God's man. Amen. You're needed. You're needed. You're needed. Men of God, pastor's wife, preacher's wife, servants, lay members, choir leaders, Sunday school teachers, ushers, whoever you are, God, you just feel like a little coat. The Lord needs you. All right. Here we go. A couple in my church came to church about 2 weeks ago. They pulled up in the parking lot, the windows up, and I could hear preaching loud. I thought, man, who in the world's that? That's some good preaching. We got out of church, got in the car, they cranked it up. Man, you could hear that preacher just preaching. And I went, and they rolled the window down. I said, who is that? And as soon as they rolled the window down, I knew who it was. Brother Alfred Willis. I want to tell you something, preacher. St. Stephen's. You may not ever feel like you need it, but there's some people in Chucky. Says, preacher, you're needed. You might not think they're listening around here, They're listening in Tennessee. I stuck in a CD. I stuck in a CD 2 weeks ago. And a preacher, Brother Mitchell, preached a revival. I got the CDs and they had a quartet singing on the CD. The True Faith Quartet. And they began to testify. This young man said, I need to testify. I'm glad I'm saved. I was in a meeting in Denton Valley. And I heard a preacher preach. He was preaching on just touching the hem of his garment. He said, and I got saved. That man of God was Brother Buster Mullins that was preaching. Preacher, sometimes you don't think nobody's listening. Somebody's listening. Preach on. Just keep on preaching. I mean, we don't even know sitting here how many people's are listening somewhere across it. And we got to have one another. And we need men of God. And we need preaching, servants. The other day, my secretary had her phone out playing a little song. I looked at it, and she was just scrolling down through there. And Brother Barry, this message. I said, man, praise God. And preacher, I saw that. And sometimes maybe at RBT you don't feel like nobody's listening. But somebody's... The Lord hath need of you. I needed you 17 years ago. If you would have quit, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't even be here. Where would you be if someone says, okay, I'm not going to serve the Lord, but look where you are because you were willing to follow leadership. Brother Chris, I heard you preaching, Brother Barry. I thank God for you and your son to preach. Oh, man, you talking about a tag team. Good night. Brother Chris, I don't know nothing about you. I've listened to you preach. If you think nobody ever wants to hear you preach, this preacher and the people in Chucky, do y'all want to hear preaching, church? Come on. Preach on. Old John Wetherford. They try to stop him. Men of God don't stop. Brother Albert Hardin. Oh, every time I see that sign chasing you, I think about him. Come up to our church up there and preach. Preacher, don't ever think you're not needed. There's some people in Chucky at the foot of the mountain over there in a 40 by 40 used to be beer store with bars on the windows. Amen. We still want it. Yeah. Brother Jarvis, come up and preach revival. And that ain't why I'm here neither. He asked me a long time ago to come. And Brother Jarvis, you come preach that meeting at that church. Them CDs are all over Chucky in Tennessee. Yeah. You're needed. You may feel, men of God, you may feel tied up. You may feel like you don't have no direction in life. You don't know which way's up and down. The elements are coming down upon your ministry. You're still needed. Amen. Preach, preacher, preach. We went out to eat after church. We come back home, back to the church for the Sunday night service. I had a couple in the car. We went out and ate. And I said, I want you to hear this preacher. We stuck it in there and sat in the parking lot and listened. To Dr. Ed McAbee. Yes, sir. Brother, oh, glory to God. So Somebody's a listening preacher. Somebody's a listening. Somebody still needs you. Dear brother, you don't even know this. I was at the Bible college that day when you preached. And I hope you don't mind this, but I stole your thought. And your preaching was preached in the 40x40 building, The Thought, in Chucky, Tennessee. And God told me to preach it. Just go forward. Brother Joe, I can go all the way around it, Brother John. Brother Barry, where would you be if it wasn't for that man right there? Brother Craig, where would you be? You may feel like a little cold. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. You're still carrying Jesus to a world that needs it. Brother Jarvis, I hope I hadn't took too much. Brother David, oh, you mean Brother Lee. Oh, I didn't even see this. I didn't even see you. He used to drive me to school on a school bus. That's how old he is. Preach. Mountain preacher. Lowland preachers. Yankee preachers. Up north, Brazil. You may just feel like a little cold. You're needed. That's what the Lord wanted me to say, Brother Jarvis. And I thank you for letting me preach. Remember, Clint, Brother Buster, y'all please don't quit. When I went through that terrible storm in that second church, they gave me my resignation. You called me. I was in, I'll never forget where it was at. I was standing in the parking lot at the Dairy Queen Club, Dairy Barn, Dairy Queen, whatever you call it. And you called me, encouraged me, preacher. Brother Barry, I'll never forget talking to you when I worked in the cotton mill. And I was going through a hard time. I said, preacher, I don't know what to do. You just said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. I ain't forgot. I remember the first message he preached. Danger being controlled by feelings. Now, God, help me. Miss Kelly, all you ladies, men of God's wives, you're needed. I said, you're needed. This meeting's needed. And I need it. And just keep on keeping on. Brother Jarvis, come on. This is what the Lord wants me to say, preacher.